Good morning. This
Morning.
is our third day talking about Moshiach ben Yosef. The reason we're talking about Moshiach ben Yosef is because our Gemara says, "Bikesh, Kodesh Baruch Hu lasot Chizkiya Moshiach." Hashem wanted to make Chizkiya Moshiach, and the Arizal says that it means Moshiach ben Yosef. We have an outstanding question, which I said we're going to answer today, and we're not. Hashem will answer it next week. How could Chizkia, who was from the house of David, tribe of Yehuda, be Mashiach ben Yosef? So I think Mr. will answer that on Tuesday. The reason is I'm trying to go in the logical progression, mainly chronological, through Mefarshim. So today we're up to the Maral, who we, in a sense, should have done yesterday for two reasons. One, it fits better with the things we talked about yesterday, and also yesterday was the Maral's yard site. So it would have been nice to do the Maral yesterday, but we didn't get there. So we'll do the Maral today. Maral is in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Lamed Zayin. And he says, Bizman HaMelech HaMashiach, Shigaleh B'mehera V'yameinu, in the time of the King Mashiach, who should be revealed speedily in our days, Kodem Malchuto Yeh Melchamot Gog Magog, before Mashiach will be the wars of Gog and Magog. Shekol ha'umot yalu alav l'machama. All of the nations will come against him, against Mashiach, to war. Ad she'naseach Mashiach adakol. So Mashiach will defeat all of them. Va'az yeh melech echad ba'olam. Then there will be one king in the world who ha'melech ha'mashiach. He is the melech ha'mashiach. V'inyan milchama zo she'yem min Gog and Magog. What's the idea behind this war? Why will there be a war? Ki kasher ein ha-Mashiach b'madregato ha-achrona, because before Mashiach has reached his final level, shekol davar ba'olam v'tchilat mitziuto eino b'malato al-yona, everything in the world starts out incomplete, starts out not at its highest level. Everything builds up to its highest level. V'vnei kach eino nimtza b'lavad ba'olam, rak yimtzei koach umot gamkein. And as long as that's the case, Mashiach cannot be alone in the world. The nations have to have power as well. Shekol davar sheino hakol rak chelek bavad yimatzei acher imo. Because as long as something is not everything, only part, then there have to be others with it. V'lachach b'tchila machut Mashiach. Therefore, at the beginning of the kingdom of Mashiach, v'adayin eno shalem legamrei b'machuto, when he's not yet complete, Adain imtzu gam kain homot. So the nations will still exist. So far he's talking about Mashiach ben David, saying that before he's reached his, it will be a progression. We saw yesterday as well that according to Ramban, Mashiach ben David will appear. Will appear and gather in the exiles and fight wars over a 5-year period, not like we might have pictured as children that Mashiach's going to show up, blow a shofar, we're all going to be in Eretz Yisrael 30 seconds later and live happily ever after. According to Ramban, that's not how it is, and it seems Maral as well is saying that it's a process, and as long as it's a process, then there have to be competitors, and that's Milchemes Gog u'Magog. And again, we will have further occasions to talk about Milchemes Gog u'Magog to focus on it specifically. So he continues, "Ulefichach kasher yeh b'tchilat madrigat Mashiach, when he will be at the beginning of the levels of Mashiach, yu hamot nitzaim imelech Mashiach, the nations will exist with him as well." And he says that because the nations are many and Mashiach is one, so they tend to want to remain many, and therefore they object to somebody who is one. Mashiach will be king over the whole world. They naturally object to that, and that's why they will oppose him. And in this process, the Mashiach ben Yosef will be killed. He then quotes the Gemara in Sukkah that we read.
That's the first thing we said about Mashiach ben Yosef.
Today.
That was the first thing we said on Rosh Hashanah and Yosef today. Correct. He then quotes Gemara in Sukkah that we read 2 days ago and we'll come back to in a few minutes. I'm going to skip over that. Now he explains why there are two Mashiachs. We saw several reasons. Before, the Chassam Sofer said that the kingdom split after Shlomo Melech died into the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yosef, the 10 northern tribes, is the kingdom of Yosef because the first king was from the tribe of Yosef. And as an atonement for that sin of splitting the kingdom, Mashiach ben Yosef will die and then everybody will reunite under Mashiach ben David. That was one explanation we saw. The Maral explains that the Jewish people are like one body. We all heard this concept when we talk about Vavtala Recha Kamocha or not taking revenge. We're all one body. So he says there are 12 limbs. He says they are well known. He is referring to the Sefer Yetzirah, which is a Kabbalistic medrash, which lists 2 hands, 2 feet, 2 kidneys, Tchol, Kaved, Mara, Masas, Kiva, and Kurkavan. These are all internal organs. But he says that they parallel the 12 constellations and the 12 months. And then he says there are 2 organs which are the kings over the other organs, and those are the head, the brain, meaning, and the heart. He says that the kingdom of Yehuda parallels the head, as we find Pasuk in Shoftim, Yehuda Ya'ale B'Rosh, which literally means Yehuda should go first, but it's a remez that Yehuda parallels the head. And Yosef is always in the middle. Anytime in the Torah, when the Nesiim are listed, the heads of the tribes are listed, or when the encampment is described, Yosef is always somewhere in the middle, never first and never last. And he says that that's because Yosef represents the heart. The heart's more or less in the middle of the body. Now, he says the neshama is the spiritual neshama is in the brain, and that is more divine, more spiritual than the heart. So when the kingdom is on the level that it should be and the Shekhinah is revealed, everybody is receiving the Shekhinah, then there's only Malchus based of it. There's that's parallels the brain, where the neshama is, where the revelation of Hashem is. That's, there should be only one king for all 12 tribes that should be on the highest level of revelation of God. When we do not merit this, and there is not a full revelation of the Kvod Hashem, of the honor of Hashem, of the Shekhinah, then the kingdom is split, and most of the limbs follow the heart on a lower level. So when the world has reached its completion and Hashem is completely revealed, there will be only Mashiach ben David. That will all be led by the tribe of Yehuda. But until then, we're on a lower level, then there is Mashiach ben Yosef as well. There's leadership by Yosef as well. This seems to parallel, I said, this fits in with what we learned yesterday, and it seems to parallel what Rav Sadia Gaon said, which is that Mashiach ben Yosef and all the events that we learned about surrounding Mashiach ben Yosef will be only if the Jewish people have not done tshuva. If the Jewish people do tshuva, then Mashiach ben David will be revealed suddenly, and the whole process that we've been talking about the last 2 days won't even happen. there won't be a need for Mashiach ben Yosef. Maral seems to agree with that. He says that this explains a halacha. We have Shemen HaMishcha, anointing oil. Anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made was only for kings from the house of David, also for Kohen Gadol, but only for kings from the house of David. Kings from the house from Yisrael were not anointed with anointing oil. Why? Because the tribe of Yehuda represents the head. The anointing oil gets poured on the head. The kings from Yosef represent the heart. The anointing oil doesn't get poured on the heart. So that's reason for that halacha. It's nevertheless that since Ephraim, one of the subdivisions of Yosef, does represent the heart, the heart's also very important. So therefore, it's understandable that there's a period in history when Ephraim also had kings, because the heart's the brain's where the neshama is, but the heart's also very important. And it's also a king. And so it's only fitting that there was at some point a king from the tribe of Ephraim. As I mentioned, he quoted the Gemara in Sukkah. We read this on Tuesday, but I want to read it again and actually go a few lines farther than I did then. So Sukkah Nun Beis Amud Aleph quotes a pasuk in Zechariah: "V'safda ha'aretz mishpachot mishpachot levad, mishpachot Beit David levad u'nishehem levad." Pasuk says that there will be a eulogy in the land, each family separately, the family of the house of David separately, and their wives separately. The context of the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about building a machitza in the Beis HaMikdash for Simchas Beis HaShoeva. They built a balcony for the women. Why? So the Gemara explains. Amru v'alo dvarim kal v'chomer. Umala atid lavo shoskim v'espeid. In the future, when this pasuk is talking about, they'll be involved in eulogy v'ein yetzer ha-shalit b'hem. Yetzer hara is not as strong when people are, you know, at a funeral. I'm talking about death. The Yetzer Hara is weakened a bit. Nevertheless, Amrat Torah, Nashim Levad, Nashim Levad. Nevertheless, the Torah demanded that men and women be separate. Achshav Shasukim B'Simchas, at the Simchas Beis Shoeva, when they're involved in Simcha, the Yetzer Hara Sholeit Bahem, and when people are in a state of Simcha, the Yetzer Hara is more powerful. Al Achad Kama V'Kama, certainly there has to be a Mechitza. The Gemara then asks, "Ha'hespeda b'may avidite? What is this hesped that the pasuk is referring to? Pligi bar Rabbi Dosa v'Rabbanan. Rabbi Dosa and the Rabbanan argue. Chadamar al Mashiach ben Yosef shneirag, v'chadamar al Yitzhar shneirag. One says it's for Mashiach ben Yosef who will have been killed, and one says it's for the Yitzhar Hara who will have been killed. I told you on Tuesday when I read this that we would see someone who says there isn't really a machlokas here, and that's going to be the Maral. But first, let me continue the Gemara. Bishlam alaman damar al Mashiach ben Yosef shterag. I understand, according to the one who says this for Mashiach ben Yosef, haynu dichtiv vibitu elai et asher dakru v'saftu alav kemispeid al yachid. That's the pasuk says there in Zechariah, they will look at the one who was stabbed and they will eulogize him. But according to the opinion that it's for the Yetzer Hara, highest beta, my vai lemevad, simcha ba lemevad. According to one who says for the Yetzer Hara, should there be a hesped? There should be a party. Amai bachu, why are they crying? Our answer is, kid the darsh Rabbi Yehuda, latid lavom via kadosh bachu li Yetzer Hara, as Rabbi Yehuda darshan, in the future, Hashem will bring the Yetzer Hara, v'shochato b'fnei tzadikim b'fnei rishayim, and shecht it in front of the tzaddikim and in front of the rishayim. Tzaddikim nidme lahem kahar gavoa. For the tzaddikim, it will look like a tall mountain. Rishayim nidme lahem kechut hasara. And for the rishayim, it will look like a thin hair, a hair's breadth. Halalu bochim, halalu bochim. These will cry, and these will cry. Tzaddikim bochim vomrim heach yechon lichbosh har gavoa kazeh. Tzaddikim will cry and say, how could we ever have conquered such a big mountain? perhaps there'll be tears of joy or tears of remembering all the pain that they went through in order to conquer the Yetzer Hara. Rishaim will say, how could we not conquer this little tiny thin hair? The idea is that as a person grows, his Yetzer Hara grows with him, because a person has to have bechira and free choice. So to a tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara is Mount Everest. To a Rasha, who isn't fighting the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer Hara's tiny hair. Each one on his own challenge.
Can't say that our sense of the Yetzer Hara go, because Yetzer Hara is something that we battle and overcome, and in some sense get rewarded for having done that.
Right, we did say that on Tuesday as well. That's another interpretation. Correct. It doesn't fit as well with the words of the Gemara, though. But you're right. Gemara continues. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tamai Imahem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will wonder with them. Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot Ki Palei Ve'inei Sherit Ha'am Hazeh. As Hashem says, as it will be a wonder in the eyes of the remnants of this nation, Ve'yami Mahem Gam Ve'inei Palei, so too in my eyes it will be a wonder. Amar Bi'asi, Yetzer Hara B'tchila Dome Lechut Shabuchya. In the beginning, the Yetzer Hara looks like a spider web. And the end, it looks like the ropes of a wagon. In other words, starts out very thin and gets wider and wider. Now, the image of a spider web is interesting, because a spider web looks like nothing, but if you walk into it, it's very difficult to get it off of you, and very, very unpleasant. Right? So it's I assume he means that as well, that the Yetzer Hara looks like a little nothing, but don't walk into it, because it sticks to you and it's difficult to get out of. Shneamar, hoy moshchei havon mechevlei hashav avot hagala chata. Taner banan, Mashiach ben David shatid li galot b'merav yameinu. Mashiach ben David, who in the future will be revealed speedily in our days, omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will say to him, Sha'al mimeni davar ve'etein lecha. Ask something from me and I will give it to you. Shneamar, as it says in Tehillim, this is in Tehillim Perek Bet, which, as I mentioned, is understood by Chazal as an entire chapter of Tehillim relating to Gog u'Magog. It says, Asapra el-chok, ani ayom yiliditicha, sha'al mimeni ve'etna goyim nechalotecha. Ask for me, Hashem said, ask for me and I will give the goyim into your hands. V'kivan shirar Mashiach ben Yosef shenerag. When Mashiach ben David saw that Mashiach ben Yosef was killed, Omer lefanav, he'll say, Ribono sholam inim avakesh mecha ela chayim. The only thing I ask is life. Omer lo chayim, ad shlo amarta, gvar hitnave alecha David avicha. Hashem said, even before you asked for that, your ancestor David prophesied about you. Shneamar chayim sha'al mimcha natatelo. As it says in Tehillim Chaf Aleph, he asked life from you, you gave it to him. According to the Gemara, that pasuk, chayim sha'al mimcha natatelo, seems to be talking about Mashiach ben David. You'll see shortly why I point that out. Returning to the Maral, at the very end of this chapter, the Maral says, "V'itba'er lecha mizeh ki milchama zot shel Gog u'Magog lehasir chiseron olam hazeh." The war of Gog u'Magog is to remove that which is lacking from the world. In other words, as he said, Mashiach, the full revelation of Mashiach ben David, will be the perfection of the world. There will be one king. Until then, things are incomplete, imperfect, and there are many kings and many nations. And the Melchemes Gog u'Magog will be because the many nations cannot tolerate the idea of there being one, and so they will come to fight Mashiach ben David. And when he defeats them, so he is wiping out the absence of unity from the world. The world is lacking. Ulachach yusar az yetzahara. And for that very reason, the yetzahara will be removed at that time. So he's connecting the two ideas in the Gemara, that why will Mashiach ben Yosef be killed? Because the world has not yet reached its perfection. It's actually part of the process of the world reaching its perfection, because right now there are two kings. There's the heart and the mind. There's Yehuda and Yosef, and there really can only be one. So part of that process is eliminating Mashiach ben Yosef, and eliminating the idea of there being two kings, and eliminating the Yetzer Hara. So in a sense, they all belong together. That is the Maral. The Maral is sort of the bridge between what we've been talking about yesterday and what we will talk about today, the rest of today and in coming days, because until now, Mashiach ben Yosef seems to be a definite person, a warrior, a physical war involved, right, with Gog and Magog, an actual battle. The Maral is the first one we saw who combines that with a concept. Mashiach ben Yosef is also a concept of the heart versus the brain, of perfection of the world versus imperfection of the world. Now we will move on to a entirely different conception of Mashiach ben Yosef, which doesn't involve physical wars at all. Not that we're rejecting the Gemaras and Midrashim that talk about wars, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could work out a totally different way. And this is found in one of the Svarim of that we call the writings of the Arizal. As I mentioned, the Arizal didn't actually write anything. It's his student, Rav Chaim Vital, who wrote this. And in commenting on Shmoneh Esrei, in the bracha that he refers to as Tishkon, the bracha that we know as Uvnei Yerushalayim, he writes, "V'milat v'kisei David avdecha." When it comes to the words in that bracha, "V'kisei David avdecha," it's right before the end of the bracha, the throne of your servant David. Some versions don't have the word avdecha there; he just says "kisei David," but it refers to the throne of David. He's here, lanu mori zichrono livracha meod, our teacher. Zichrono Livracha, that is the Arizal, used to warn us a great deal. B'yom Echad, either B'yom Echad or B'yom Aleph, one day or on Sunday, I'm not sure which. Shalachnu al tziyun Shmaya v'Avtalion v'palalnu sham. We went to the graves of Shmaya and Avtalion. Shmaya and Avtalion were the leaders right before the Tanaim, the teachers of Shammai and Hillel. So we went to their graves and davened there. Yechpil sham lanu lamar, and he repeated there to say, "Shenazkir b'chol tefila u'tefila." In every single tefila, we should remember l'chavein b'milat David avdecha. When we get to the words David avdecha, or kisei David avdecha, sheyichye Mashiach ben Yosef v'lo yamut al yedei armilus harasha. The Mashiach ben Yosef should live and not be killed by armilus harasha. V'huni kraki say David avdecha. Mashiach ben Yosef is referred to as the throne of Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef comes first and prepares the way, and Mashiach ben David is on top of that. So it's the throne of Mashiach ben David. It continues, v'zes sod chayim sh'al mimcha. This is the secret of the pasuk that the Gemara quoted, Chayim Sh'al Mimcha, he requested life from you. Kamash Katuv, Biraya Mehemna, as it says in the Zohar, Shatid Mashiach ben Yosef Lamut, that Mashiach ben Yosef will die. V'lo hivinu dvarav. We did not understand what the Arizal was saying. Hashem yodea nisterot. Hashem knows secrets. V'sofo mochiach tchilatol. The end revealed what was meant at the beginning. Shemet moriach chassid zichrono lebracha bavonatenu rabim. That my teacher, the chassid, died due to our many sins. Arizal, believe it or not, lived to be 34 or 36 years old. Died very young. It's a good thing he didn't wait till he was 40 to learn Kabbalah, incidentally. But what's Rav Chaim Vital saying here? The Arizal said, Daven for Mashiach ben Yosef not to die, and we didn't understand him, and the Arizal died. He's saying that the Arizal was Mashiach ben Yosef. So how do we understand that? So there's a note here, Yitzi mentioned the other day, Magala Amukos, Rav Nassan Shapira. So he refers to this pasuk, Chayim Sha'al Mimcha, he requested life from you. He says that the last letters of the words, Chayim Mem, Sha'al Lamed, Chaf, Mimcha Chaf, spells Melech. V'rashe Tevot L'mafreya, the Rashi Tevos, the first letters of these three words, in reverse order, spells Mashiach without a yod, Mem Shin Chet. And the middle letters, Yud, Aleph, and Mem, in Atbash. Atbash is a form of gematria where the Aleph matches the Sof, the first letter matches the last letter, the Beis matches the Shin, the second letter matches the second to last letter, and so on. It's called Atbash. So the middle letters, Yud, Aleph, Mem, in Atbash spells Mem, Vav, Tof, Mavis, death. So the words Chayim, Sha'al, Mimcha, this pasuk, alludes to Melech Mashiach Maves, the king dying. Ratzal Amar, Shemelech Mashiach Yitpalel Lefanecha, Shelo Yamut Eidei Armilus Harasha. The Gemara understood that pasuk as being said as referring to Mashiach ben David. He's understanding that pasuk as referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. V'shamata L'tfilato V'ntata L'orch Yamim. And you listened to him and his prayer, and you gave him long life. The pasuk says that you accepted his prayer and you gave him long life. Ratzalamar natata lo arichut hagalut shelo yavo mehira bimehira. That is, Hashem lengthened the galus so that the end of days should not come quickly. Kadesh yuchal avo kama pamim bigilgulim, so that Mashiach ben Yosef can return to this world many times through Gilgulim. Shebechol dor vador yavo Mashiach ben Yosef bigilgul. In every generation, Mashiach ben Yosef comes in a Gilgul. Im yesh tzadikim vador shu maginim alav shlo yamut. If there are tzadikim in the generation who can protect him, meachar shlo nimtza mishi yagen alav uchrachu batzmo lamut. If there are no tzadikim in that generation worthy of protecting him, then he will die. Vayidei onesh hamitash sovel bechol dor vador. And through the punishment of death that he experiences in every generation, he atones that he should not be killed by Armilus. Rather, Hashem will take him away in each generation. In other words, instead of the way the Midrashim said that Mashiach ben Yosef will come one time at the end of time and be killed in battle, Hashem spreads it over many generations. Through the long galus, he comes many times, dies a natural death, and that repeated process of dying and coming back in a Gilgul atones for the same thing that those wars at the end of time would have atoned for, and Mashiach ben Yosef will not have to come and be killed in battle, which perhaps means these battles won't happen at all. Neshamos don't like to come back in Gilgulim. It's very unpleasant. And so all of that is an atonement for whatever the war and Mashiach ben Yosef being killed in battle was supposed to atone for.
This is saying that the Arizal was one of these
Gilgulim. Correct. V'nir'ah sh'aydei z'chut ha'oskim v'chuchmat emet. So this note from Rav Nassan continues. It appears that through the merit of those who study Chochmas HaEmes, Kabbalah, Yeshkoch b'adam lagena Mashiach ben Yosef shelo yamut adei rasha milus. This can protect Mashiach ben Yosef from not being killed. It doesn't mean that everybody should run and study Kabbalah. We're not ready to run and study Kabbalah. This already is on the edge of where we should be. But for those who are worthy, the tzaddikim, b'chol dor v'dor, the tzaddikim in every generation who have the ability to protect Mashiach ben Yosef can protect him by studying Kabbalah. That's what Rav Nassan Shapira is saying in this note here. The Chozemi Lublin, one of the early Hasidic rebbes, which many of the current Hasidic dynasties are spiritual descendants, not family descendants, but spiritual descendants of the Chozemi Lublin, he writes, and this ties into something else Yitzi asked about the year 1648. When I mentioned that many of the times when various Gedolim said Mashiach would come, there were instead tragedies. And so I don't know offhand of anybody who said that 1648 was when Mashiach would come, but there was a time of great tragedy, the Khmelnytsky massacres in Ukraine. This Khmelnytsky was the head of Cossacks, and he rebelled against the king of Ukraine or the Tsar of Russia, whoever it was. And anytime there's such a rebellion, it's a good time to kill Jews. And by some estimates, 100,000 or more Jews were killed in the Khmelnytsky massacres. Up to the time of the Holocaust, it was considered one of the worst tragedies of all time. There are fast days. I will mention this very quickly, and then we will go on. The Tosfos Yomtov, one of the commentaries in the Mishnah, said that the Khmelnytsky, and he lived at that time. He wasn't a Navi, but he did have Ruach HaKodesh. He said the Khmelnytsky massacres were because of talking in Shul. So the Chozem Lublin, who lived in the early 1800s, or died in the early 1800s, he writes in Sefer Divrei Emes, V'nei Madregas Yosef Tzadik Haita Lashpia. The level of Yosef, he's associated with the idea of giving out physical goodness. That's what Yosef did. He fed people. His descendant, Yoshua, was the one who gave out Eretz Yisrael to people. Again, physical, giving out physical goodness. And this is an idea we will develop more next week, that Mashiach ben Yosef is connected with physical goodness, whereas Mashiach ben David is connected with spiritual goodness. We'll talk about that more next week, so this is sort of a teaser. Mashiach ben Ephraim Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. And Mashiach ben Ephraim will bring the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. Kinir Ash lo yehareg, and he won't be killed. Ki kayam kuyam Rabbi Shimon Ostropoli. The decree that Mashiach ben Yosef be killed was already fulfilled through the murder of the great Mekubal Rabbi Shimshon Ostropoli in the Khmelnytsky massacre. That is what Chozem Lublin says. How does he know that? So Rav Tzadok HaKohen, a later Hasidic Rebbe of Lublin, no relation. The Chozem Lublin was a Levi, Rav Tzadok HaKohen was a Kohen, but they were both Hasidic Rebbes in Lublin. Rav Tzadok HaKohen died in 1900, lived from 1823 to 1900, and he's considered one of the greatest thinkers of the Hasidic movement. And he writes in Pri Tzadik on Parshas Naso, talking about Shal Shudis. He says that Shal Shudis, the third meal, parallels the third one of the Avos, Yaakov Avinu. And he says that through eating Shal Shudis, the person can be saved from Milchemes Gog u'Magog, and can save Mashiach ben Yosef from being killed. Why? Because as he doesn't quote the Maral, but seems to be saying the same thing the Maral said, the idea of Mashiach ben Yosef being killed is related to the imperfection of the world. Yaakov Avinu is considered the perfect one of the Avos. Yaakov Avinu had, as much as we could say this, no Yetzer Hara, no physical desires. He doesn't bring out all these points. I'm elaborating to explain what he says about Yaakov Avinu having no desires. We find, for example, that after Yaakov works for 7 years, he says to Lavan, give me my wife so I can have relations with her. Rashi says, what kind of boor talks that way? And the answer is that Yaakov Avinu, just like Adam and Chava before the Eitz and Eitz Hadas, they had no clothes because they had no need to cover themselves. They had no Yetzer Hara. That's the level Yaakov Avinu was on. To him, it was a mitzvah of creating a family and nothing more. So there was no shame in saying those words. That's part of the idea of Yaakov having no taiva, no Yetzirah. He doesn't say this explicitly either, but I think what he means is Shal Shudis, good part of the year, is a meal you eat when you're not hungry. You eat it solely for the mitzvah. Right? So it's connected in that sense, with Yaakov Avinu, it's not something that involves taiva, that involves desire. It's just something you do because it's a mitzvah. So that's a connection between Yaakov Avinu and Shal Shudis. Until we all reach that level, until the Yetzer Hara is destroyed, the world is imperfect. But by eating Shal Shudis, which represents these things, we are diminishing the Yetzer Hara and thereby protecting Mashiach ben Yosef so that he won't have to be killed, because as the Maharal said, Mashiach ben Yosef is only killed because the world is imperfect. It's part of bringing the world to perfection. He then cites what the Divrei Emes, the Chozem Lublin, said about Rav Shimshon Ostropoli being Mashiach ben Yosef not needing to be killed because that was already taken care of when Rav Shimshon Ostropoli was killed. He says, "V'davar zeh humash ratza hu lifol zeh b'diburo." There's no source for that. The Chozem Lublin, we have a concept, tzadik gozer v'kadosh baruch hu mekayem. A tzadik makes a decree, Hashem fulfills it. The Chozem Lublin was saying to Hashem when he wrote this sefer, don't kill Mashiach ben Yosef. It's enough that you killed that great tzaddik. Let that be a replacement. It was a tefillah or a decree. It wasn't a historical statement. That's how Rav Tzadok understands it. Similarly, he quotes the Magid of Koznitz, another early Hasidic Rebbe, who says that there won't be a Melchemes Gog Magog. He says also, this is a statement in the realm of Tzadik Gozer V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem. Not that we know for sure there won't be a Melchemes Gog U'Magog, but he's saying we've had enough suffering, enough already. Let there not be a... that was all in the 1800s. Since then, as we know, we've had a lot more suffering. We don't know what Melchemes Gog U'Magog is or will be, or whether it was. But we can certainly also daven that we can't decree like they could, but we could daven that we've had enough suffering and let that be it. Let there not be Melchemes Gog U'Magog, and let Mashiach ben David come v'mehirah bi'yameinu.